T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good Saturday morning to you. Chris Goforth alongside the former Atlanta Falcon and Harry Douglas as we are set to get you ready for the 2020 Atlanta Falcons season. Over the next 2 hours, we'll talk all Falcons football. We'll talk offense. We'll talk defense. Brandon Ruth, the Falcons Director of Operations, will be with us. We'll talk a little bit about what is going into practice, if you will, at Flowery Branch surrounding the pandemic. And then coming up in about an hour and 20 minutes right from now, we'll have our Falcons Roundtable. Wes Durham and Dave Archer will join us, and we'll get you the latest on the Atlanta Falcons. Harry, here we go. It's been a bizarre offseason, to say the least. You spent a long time in this league. I don't think in the history of the National Football League there's ever been an offseason that has been quite as strange as this one has been.
Well, it's been strange. It's been dramatic. It's been traumatic. All of those things above. But here we are now. We're finally getting to a point where football is about to start happening. And I know the fans are out there excited. I'm excited. I know you're excited, Chris. And we're ready to get this thing rolling.
So let me ask you this whole idea of a virtual offseason that these guys have been doing, who suffers the most from this? What's the impact? Let's go with the rookies first. What's the impact on those guys not having OTAs, not having a rookie minicamp, not having preseason games?
Well, for the rookies, it's both sides of the spectrum. It's a positive and a negative. A negative effect it has on the rookies is not having the preseason, not having those games, not getting those NFL game reps where you can get that feel and understand how the NFL is doing things. Now, the positive I believe it has on the rookies is they, right after they get drafted, they don't have to get thrown right into the fire. They actually get time to learn plays, get the information down, learn the terminology. So when they get here and when they got here at the end of July and August, they can just hit the field running and not have to think so much. Because when you're young, and I remember this when I was a rookie back in the NFL, your head is spinning and you're running like a chicken with your head cut off. So
it's a lot to comprehend.
Exactly. So that allowed the rookies to be able to have a month and a half, 2 months to get things down from a learning and a mental spectrum.
Falcons rookie linebacker Michael Walker says he's a thinker, and he says he thinks that has helped him this offseason.
We have a joke coach always says, like, my kids can learn the playbook, but executing is completely different. So, I mean, that was a big challenge for me just to do that. But that's something, like I said, I took on, and I just think that really helped me out. You know, even though we had this virtual time, for me being such I'm a real mental, real deep thinker, so that it really helps me on the field because I could just process it quickly. So once you start processing it faster, get more comfortable, it helps out a lot.
He's been one of the standout guys, I think, from what we have been able to find out about training camp over the last couple of weeks. Michael Walker's a guy that has been turning some heads. We'll talk a little more about him later on. Harry, what about the impact now on the veteran guys? These guys do a great job now taking care of themselves, keeping themselves in shape, but there is a difference between being in shape and being football shape.
Well, when you look at the veterans, you didn't get a chance to have OTAs. That's another time frame where you're getting in football shape. You're going against other bodies. You're getting that contact and understanding, my body needs this. Now, guys couldn't work out at their team facilities. That was a big knock across the NFL. Gyms across the nation were shut down. They didn't get a chance to do that either. So they were basically in a improvise situation. I'm going to improvise. I have to do what I have to do. I'm going to go out here to a field. I'm going to go run these hills. But you might not have had a weight room. Not everybody has a weight room. Not everybody had access to things of that nature. So they were more in an improvised state. Now, when it comes to preseason games, I think it hurts the bottom of your roster and guys who are fighting for a roster spot and guys who are undrafted or guys who may have come in free agency that aren't top dogs. Now, that's where it hurt the veteran. That's where it hurts the veterans.
You've got a lot of friends in the league, both here in Atlanta and, for that matter, around the National Football League. What were guys telling you that they were doing to be ready?
Well, a lot of guys, I keep it here in Atlanta. I worked out with a couple guys. We were going up mountains, going on nature walks, nature hikes, and things of that nature. A lot of guys had to order weight room equipment for their homes. So they just so they can be physically ready, because you never want to, when you start football, you never want to hit the ground not in tip-top shape. And a lot of people, I've seen a lot of negative talk about guys getting together and doing things in a whole nine, but what people need to understand in that is this is their livelihood. This is what they do right. every day. Some of these guys, all they know is football. So you can't really fault them for wanting to be at the top of the spectrum. And because when you come into training camp, when you come into certain situations with your team and you finally get to that point, coaches don't want to hear anything about that you're not in shape and you're not ready to go. You have to hit the ground running. So a lot of guys are doing different things. I spoke with Derrick Henry up in Tennessee a lot. I seen him on the side of a highway going up hills, doing workouts, doing things of that nature. He also has a trainer also. Now, some of these guys have trainers where they can be in their facilities one-on-one. And be able to social distance and not be hazardous to one another. So that's what I heard a lot of.
Some guys chose to opt out and not to play this season. You were once an NFL player. Have you thought, and as a father of small children, have you thought about how you would respond if presented with a situation like this when you were playing?
Well, first and foremost, Chris, anyone who made the decision, I respect 100% because
agreed.
You're a father first. You're a
That's
family
right.
man first. Your job as a man, I was listening to Jay-Z on the way over here. A man that don't take care of his family can't be rich. It was one some of the lyrics in this song. That's your job. You're the head of the household. Your job is to take care of your family. Now, me personally, I would have played. I just love football that much. And I would have had precautions in place for my family so anything didn't happen. Now, with COVID-19, it's not just the players who have to sacrifice. It's players, coaches, management, and family members. Mm-hmm. And everyone have to be on one accord to make this thing work, because if one person slips up, it may affect a whole ball club. So everyone has to be on one accord and do what's right for the greater good.
Yeah, Falcons Director of Operations, Brandon Ruth, he'll be with us coming up in about 35 minutes from right now. And I look forward to getting into the conversation with him. Kind of what you said, Harry, because this is one of those things, not only do you have to talk to your players about staying safe during a pandemic, you also have to talk to their families, I think, in terms of what's at stake here. Falcons offensive lineman Caleb McGarry said he didn't think about opting out. And remember, this is a guy that missed some time last year with some heart issues.
I reached out to a couple medical professionals I trust and respect, and got their opinions. They said that I should be fine, so here I am. I get paid to play football. It's my job. So in an ideal world, I get to play football. That's just kind of how it goes for me. I love the game, and you know, I can't really afford to not get paid right now. So I'm fortunate that I have a job. You know, as a lot of people, unfortunately, due to COVID, lost jobs, and you know, businesses losing millions of dollars and stuff. You know, I'm fortunate that I have an occupancy that can afford to pay me and that I can, you know, make a living off of right now.
To a degree, Harry, it is on the players to be able to police themselves this season. I mean, not just in the locker room, but outside the locker room as well.
Sacrifice, Chris. Who wants to sacrifice? Sometimes you have to cut off your finger to save your hand. And it's one of those situations where you have to sacrifice. You have to sacrifice as a player. You have to sacrifice as a coach. You have to sacrifice as management. At home, your wife or your lady has to sacrifice. Your kids may have to sacrifice. Everything is in a sacrifice mode. And that, not just NFL, that's college, that's high school, any level of our world where football or sports are being played, sacrifice is the biggest thing now in 2020, as we've had a disastrous 2020 so far. Sacrifice has to be the biggest thing on everyone's list.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chris Goforth, Harry Douglas. We're with you until noon today as we talk Falcons football. We get you ready for the 2020 season, and we kind of start off talking about the subject that has really dominated the landscape for the last, what, 6 months now, close to it, and that is the COVID-19 pandemic. And Harry, one of the fallouts from that will be a much different environment for the National Football League this year. There's no fans in stands. I think I joked with you yesterday about the fact of all the years for the Falcons to host the Seahawks and not be able to, you know, go to Seattle and not have to deal with, you know, the 12th man, where it's going to be a little quieter in Seattle this year for opponents that go there to play. But your thoughts on the effects of no fans in the stands in the NFL?
Well, it's a sad thing, but you have to take the safety and go to the precautionary route for everything to play out and for teams to be able to play this game that so many of us love dearly. Now, when it comes to players, we love fans. We always want fans to be there. But is it going to be a big difference for players? In my eyes, no, because you practice every day without fans. You're used to doing this. The only time you do have fans is when you're going to game days on Sundays, on Mondays, or Thursdays, or Sunday nights. That's the only time you see fans. Now, the part of it where I think it's going to affect the game of football is on the offensive side of the ball, where teams and offenses are making calls, or they go no huddle, and they're saying certain things, and defenses are picking up on that. Now, a lot of teams are going to have to go silent count, because you don't want the defensive lineman to get a jump on your snap count. So now you got to go silent count. You got to do a lot of hand signals, and you might get to an area where you have to switch up your hand signals every week or every other week so the defense doesn't get those tips.
In a normal preseason, and again, as you've said, this is far from normal, but in a normal season, the third preseason game for the Falcons would have been last night. And we would be today, we would know who the starters are, right? Because that third preseason game,
yep,
usually that's when you name your starters, and we would be talking about who makes the final roster cuts.
Yep.
It's a much different world right now. Final cuts, by the way, set for September 5th. Harry and I will get into talking about some of those position battles that are going on and some guys who may be on the roster bubble a little bit. There's been some rookies that have been turning heads, especially on the defensive side of the ball with A.J. Terrell and also Michael Walker, two guys that have seemed to stand out. And look, you played wide receiver, Harry. You know Julio Jones. Julio didn't take part in preseason practice last year. This year, as far as I know, he's been there every day, and he's been going through all the drills. I think that's great. I think it's great from a team-building standpoint, and for these young guys, you can't tell me that going up against Julio Jones every day isn't going to make A.J. Terrell a little bit better.
It's going to make him a lot better, and you want that. You want that competition. You want your top dog. You want your best player helping these rookies out. I go back to the times when I was here in Atlanta. It was me, it was Julio, it was Roddy. But in our secondary, we had Brent Grimes, Dante Robinson, and Asante Samuel. So when we got to get – the battles was in practice. The battle wasn't the games for us. The battles was making it every day in practice and being productive in practice every day. When we got to the games, our mindset was like, okay, these guys are poo. We go against better every single day.
That's right.
So iron sharpens iron. It's not just a cliche. I believe in it 100%. And you have Calvin Ridley. You have Calvin Ridley, who's going to really emerge this year and do some damage. But you got A.J. Terrell, who can go against both of these guys. And I know a lot of people give A.J. a little noise because of the national championship game. But, damn, who didn't Ja'Marr Chase torch last year when it came to LSU offensively? He torched just about everybody he played against. So that's just one game.
Real quickly before we finish up, and we'll get back to the defense later, you're high on A.J. Terrell based on the film you've gone back and watched on him.
Yes, I am, because I think in the system that Dan Quinn runs, I think he's a perfect fit because he reads route combinations. He jumps routes. I love his technique. Now, the only problem when you have rookie cornerbacks in the league, he's going to get attacked this year because he's a rook. It doesn't matter where you get drafted, how high you are. I don't care how good you are. Defense are going to try to come at you.
Harry Douglas, Chris Goforth. Glad to be with you on a Saturday morning, getting a chance to talk Falcons football. Boy, we're getting close. We're getting close. Season kicks off in a couple of weeks. Falcons will host the Seahawks. We'll take a look at the Falcons offense in 2020, including expectations for Todd Gurley. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The relationship is great. It's like we've been with them for 2 years now, even with the shortened offseason. It started off from our Zoom calls. We clicked immediately, and everybody in the room just gets along with them. We laugh together and work together.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's Falcons running back Brian Hill on the edition of Todd Gurley. Chris Goforth, Harry Douglas. We are talking Falcons football until noon today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can find us online at 929thegame.com and on the radio.com app. You can also find us on Twitter at 929thegame. Glad to have you hanging with us as we get you set for the 2020 Atlanta Falcons season, one in which we'll see the former Georgia Bulldog Todd Gurley don a Falcons uniform. And you know, Harry, from what we heard from yesterday, what we saw yesterday, the Falcons scrimmage at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Todd Gurley, he stood out. He looked good. You're familiar with Dirk Koetter in this offense. How do you see Todd Gurley fitting into what the Falcons want to do with their running backs?
Well, I think he's going to fit in very, very well, because within the Dirk Koetter offense, you look at the years that he's been an offensive coordinator or a head coach. When he was a head coach, he definitely had control over the offense, and he loves throwing the football to his tight ends and running backs. One thing Matt Ryan loves to do, when it's not downfield, when it's not there, he loves to go down to his backs, to his checkdowns. So I think Todd Gurley is going to be a major asset. And when you look at Todd Gurley, this is a guy in five seasons who has over 1,200 carries, over 5,000 yards rushing, and 58 touchdowns. Now, on the receiving end, he has over 215 receptions, over 2,000 yards receiving, and 12 touchdowns. He is a dual threat. Defenses have to account for him. He was that in Los Angeles with the Rams. When I was in Tennessee, I played against Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley beat us by himself. Literally. That's the year he was the offensive player of the year.
Right.
He literally beat us by himself. So he's that type of player. Now, I love what the Falcons are doing with him right now. You're taking the precautions. You're load managing him, because you have to do those things. If you want Todd Gurley to be the effective Todd Gurley that he was a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, you have to do that.
Well, I think not only do you have to do that now, Harry, but you have to do it over the course of the season as well.
Correct.
If you want to have him for the postseason.
Correct.
And I know Dirk Koetter was on ESPN a couple of weeks ago and said that he thought the number of touches per game for Todd Gurley would be somewhere between 15 to 25 per game. I think that number has got to be closer to 15 than it is to 25. Last year with the Rams, Todd Gurley averaged about 17 touches per game. That's where I think it has to be if you want to be able to have him come January.
Now, to add to that, Chris, it also plays a lot into how the game's going, how Todd Gurley is moving, how he's flowing. Because one thing I know players hate is when they're in a groove and they're doing well and they're getting yanked in and out of the ball game. Now, that can frustrate a player.
Well, and it also comes back around, too, to how the Falcons are. Look, if you're playing with a lead, you're going to call that game a little bit differently.
Oh,
your run-pass mix is going to be a little bit different when you're playing ahead rather than playing from behind.
Well, and that's where the Falcons got in trouble last year. They were playing behind, and they had to abort the run, which I think they have to do a better job of this year, is establishing the run and sticking with the run to set up the pass. Now, it's going to be some games where the pass has to set up the run based off what the defense is giving you, but this year I think they're going to have to stick to the run, be dedicated to the run, and let these horses run wild. Now, when looking at Todd Gurley, if the game is going well and he's flowing, let him do his thing. Now, if the game's out of reach on your behalf, that's when you allow some of these other guys to finish the game off. Now, if you're coming from behind, he's still a vital option in the pass game to be out there on the field. But if you get to the fourth quarter and you're down a significant amount, and as a coach, you know if you can come back from it or not, then you may have to pull him because you don't want those extra reps on him. Because as a defense, now it becomes, let's rally and tat the ball.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Can Todd Gurley get to 1,000 yards rushing?
Yes, he can, because when you look at that, that's only 62.5 yards a game rushing. And he's going to have, I'm going to say this now, he's going to have some games where he has 100-plus yards rushing in a ball game. I think he can get to that. Now, just stick to the script. If they stick to the run, let the run set up the pass. It's gonna, like I said, it's going to be times where the pass has to set up the run. I think he can get to 1,000 yards easily.
Depth at running back. It seems like the Falcons have a lot of confidence right now in Brian Hill, who we just heard from talking about Todd Gurley at the top of the segment. But it seems like the Falcons feel like Brian Hill is ready to take that next step now.
When you look at Brian Hill, you look at late last year, 2019. Late during the season last year, Brian Hill really emerged. He really started finding his own, getting into his groove. And that was a lot of promise for the Falcons. He came into last offseason, he worked very hard to get to that point. Now he came into this year. Now you hear the head coach and Dirk say, there's nothing, Brian Hill fits into everything that we want to do on offense, whether it comes the running back out of the backfield, running routes, rushing the football, blocking. That's what you want as your number two. And I think Brian Hill is a great number two back. Now you look at other running backs on the depth chart, Ito Smith. Ito Smith played last year, only 7 games. He did kickoff returns. He got hurt. He was on IR. Ito has a lot to prove to this coaching staff. And I don't know if Ito's going to make it, but it's a great chance he's going to make it. But when you look at that stretch zone run game, Ito is the perfect kind of back for that, him and Todd Gurley, where I'm pressing. I'm sticking my foot in the ground. I'm getting downhill. The first hole I see, I'm sticking my foot in the ground, Chris, and I'm getting downhill, and now it's off to the races. He is that kind of back. Now, when you look at Quadri Olison, everything is up in the air right now because he might end up being the odd man out, and they might have to end up putting him on practice squad.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Crisco Forth and Harry Douglas as we talk Falcons football. Let's move on to your position group now. Those wide receivers with the Falcons. Look, we know about Julio. We know about Calvin Ridley. I want your thoughts on Laquon Treadwell, because I see him as a guy who, when he was in college, he was able to out-athlete some people. At the NFL, that hasn't happened for him. He's had a hard time in his career trying to get open in the National Football League. Does he have a spot with the Atlanta Falcons?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be a dogfight, because when you look at wide receivers 3, 4, and 5, okay, most teams keep 5, some keep 6 if you're a heavy pass offense, some keep 4. That's a disaster. I went through that in Tennessee my first year.
Spoken as a wide receiver.
That's a disaster. Some teams keep 4 and 5, though. When you look at receivers 3 through 5, they have to be vital and play a special role on special teams. Now, the proof is in the pudding. We have Julio Jones as a starting X receiver. We have Calvin Ridley as a Z receiver.
Right.
Russell Gage last year, I thought, did a great job when they traded Mohamed Sanu, filling in and building that trust with Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan actually looked to Russell Gage a lot, and they had that connection. Now, 4 and 5. 4 and 5 have to play vital roles on special teams. 4 and 5 have to cover kicks. You can't just be a receiver as a number 3, 4, and 5 in this league. You're not going to last.
So let me ask you this. As a player, you've got the option now in what are, at very best, uncertain times in the National Football League. Are you willing to accept a practice squad position now to know that maybe you're going to have a chance later on than to risk it as a free agent and try to land someplace else, given how, you know, just the nature of the National Football League and sports in general right now?
In these circumstances, 100% yes.
You take the practice squad?
Listen, I'll tell you, special team coach down there in Tampa right now, Keith Armstrong, when he was here in Atlanta, them streets a different ball game now. You don't want to be on them streets. Those streets a different ball game.
Yeah.
You want a job. We had players that got cut because they didn't want to play vital roles on special teams. We brought them back, and that's the first thing Keith would say to them. You ain't like them streets, did you? Now you're going to get that act right, huh?
Matt Ryan likes what he has in his wide receivers, and who can blame him? This is has the chance to be a very good group.
Well, they're just so talented. You know, they're guys that if you just get them the ball in space, they're extremely difficult to bring down in the open field. And so, as a quarterback, you know, it's about getting the ball out on time, giving them, you know, space to move with it, and they'll make plays. And so I don't have to do anything crazy. I just have to give them chances. And they're all so talented that they can make people pay every time they touch the ball.
Part of that job that Matt Ryan's talking about getting the ball out to those guys in space, Harriet, it comes down to those guys up front. Last season, 2019, Falcons allowed 50 quarterback sacks and 135 quarterback hits. You've got a 35-year-old quarterback in Matt Ryan. I'm going to assume that Matt Schaub will end up being the number two quarterback again on this roster. Matt Schaub's 39 years old. You've got to find a way to protect those guys. The offensive line up front, both in the run game and in pass protection, they've got to be better in both parts of the game.
Well, I think last year, when you look at the 2019 season, and me, I'm going to keep it real, guy, Chris. The only guy I felt last year on this offensive line that did their job was rookie Chris Lindstrom. And unfortunately, he got hurt.
That's right.
Now, when you look at this offensive line on paper, you have Jake Matthews at left tackle. You have the rookie Matt Hennessy, who's probably going to be your left guard. You have Alex Mack at center. You have Caleb McGarry at right tackle, and you have Chris Lindstrom at right guard. On paper, this offensive line should be dominating people, left and right. Now, when you look at that, I'll say the left guard position last year, in free agency, you brought in two guys. They just cut Jamon Brown. That's one of the guys they brought in. You brought in James Carpenter. So those are two guys that you thought was going to be able to solidify a nice offensive line up front. Now, granted that early on they had injuries and they didn't get a chance to build that continuity with one another. But that's also why we bring up the question, how long should it take them to decide who their starting five is going to be, or who is going to be at that guard position, that left guard position?
See, I think they know. I'll be honest. Just the way this preseason has gone, Harry, I think the Falcons had the idea when they drafted Matt Hennessy in the third round, they knew they got a guy that was going to be a day one starter.
I agree with you.
I mean, I think the job's his now. I realize, Dan Quinn hasn't come out and said that yet, but all signs point to Matt Hennessy. He is the starter, and here is the Falcons rookie talking about whether or not he feels like he's ready to be a starter.
I mean, whatever the team needs me to do, I'll be ready to roll. And in terms of, like, whatever role I need to fill, I'm going to do to help us win. So I don't know what that'll look like yet, but, I mean, I'm down to help the team, whatever that looks like.
Let's hear from Falcons head coach Dan Quinn now on Matt Hennessy's development running with the starters, because, again, he has been with the starting five literally since camp began. Oh, we'll get to it in just a second. But again, Harry, I feel like the Falcons knew back in April they were getting a first round or they were getting a day one starter in the third round when they took Matt Hennessy, because all signs point to the fact that I don't want to say that it was an immediate coronation for him, but boy, it kind of felt like he showed up and the Falcons said, okay, guy, here you go. It's yours until you lose it.
I agree with you. And when you look at the season, game one is 2 weeks away. And you want it to be known who your starting five is going to be so they can build that cohesiveness. One of the things I think last year that hurt them is that they didn't get a chance to do that because the guys were injured here. You had an O-lineman injured here. And when it came to that left guard position, you had so many missed assignments, you had penalties, you had missed blocks, and things of that nature, and that's why they drafted Matt Hennessy. Is he going to be the future center in Atlanta? Yes, when Alex Mack is not playing. But right now, they need him to play guard, and that's what he's willing to do.
Here is Dan Quinn on Matt Hennessy and his improvement and development.
Like any rookie, there's ups and downs as you're going. And so now that the installs are coming to a close, we're fully expecting it to be sharper and sharper and sharper as it goes. But, no leader just yet, see, as far as the naming a starter at that spot.
Real quick, you mentioned it already with the roster cuts that the Falcons have made in kind of moving on from Jamon Brown. They hold on to James Carpenter, who's 32. What do you think depth along the offensive line looks like?
Well, I think the depth looks good right now. Now, James Carpenter, when Matt went down yesterday or went out, he did step in and fill in that role at the left guard position. But I think their depth is solid right now on their offensive line.
When we return, Brandon Ruth, he is the Falcons' Director of Operations. He will join us and tell us what it's like at Flowery Branch in training camp during a pandemic. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
At first, it was kind of weird at first, but now I got the hang of it. You know, got to wake up early in the morning, go get tested first, find a way to get back to the cafeteria. You know, we got different routes out here, so you know, so it's a process, but we got to get through it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's Atlanta Falcons defensive back Demonte Casey on the process of dealing with the training camp protocols. Chris Goforth, Harry Douglas, glad to be with you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game online at 929thegame.com and on the radio.com app. It's time for us to head out on the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in Brandon Ruth. Brandon is the Atlanta Falcons Director of Operations. So, Brandon, if you can, take us through what it is like for the players, whether it's Matt Ryan or Grady Jarrett or Julio or whoever, when they show up at Flowery Branch every day, what happens before they can enter the facility?
Well, pleasure talking with you guys this morning. But, so when they come in each day, you know, the first thing that they do is, you know, it's testing. Before you can enter in through any of our doors within the facility, you know, you go over to our indoor facility. We have our testing set up over there, and, you know, Matt, you know, Grady, Julio, all of our coaches, all of our staff, everybody who has access to this building has to go get tested first. And, you know, that's just become our new daily routine. And, you know, you go get tested, you know, before you even eat. So, you know, guys have done a great job of, you know, kind of getting adjusted to it. And it's been really good, really smooth so far.
Brandon, when it comes to testing these players and testing the staff, I know right now, are the tests being performed every day? And if so, when does that change for the organization?
Yeah, so right now we are every day. You know, so there are certain tiers. You know, pretty much the majority of the people that we're just allowing into our building are tier one and tier two, which is, you know, you're either a player coach or you have constant contact around a player or coach. And the league has it designated right now for us to get tested every single day. So, you know, currently, you know, today is a player off day for us. And our guys still have to drive up here in the morning and get tested. So that goes all the way up until September 5th. And I think as of September 5th, we're supposed to get new protocols in terms of how we're going to handle the regular season. But right now, it's an everyday thing. You know, wake up Saturday, Sunday morning, come in and get tested, you know, whether you're working or not.
Brandon, how much different is it going to feel as a player or a coach in 2020, because you just mentioned it, these guys are getting tested now before they enter the facility, before they can eat. This affects the way you meet, the way you practice, the way you eat. How will it be different in 2020?
Yeah, so, you know, the biggest difference is, you know, guys' routines that they've had, you know, for years, especially some of these veterans, on what they did and how they entered, and, you know, kind of the cadence has always been the same for them. But, you know, this year, this is a year where everything's different and everything's so fluid. You know, we test different now than we did, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, and the timing is different and all of that. So, you know, I think what's really going to make us successful is, you know, how we handle it and how we respond to it. And I think that, you know, I think our guys and our coaches understand that, hey, you know, it's going to be, you know, fluid. It's going to be a very fluid year. And I think that's what's going to make us most successful, being able to kind of roll with the punches throughout the year, knowing that, you know, we're dealing with a pandemic and we don't know what's going to happen this week or next week or what could happen. Baseball has been kind of a shining example in that. And, you know, they started off kind of rough, but they've kind of steadied the sails a little bit.
Brandon, when you're looking at the Falcons and the 2020 season, we're talking with Brandon Ruth from the Atlanta Falcons, talking COVID-19 protocols. What if someone tests positive, God forbids, with COVID-19? What are the protocols now?
Yeah, so, you know, if there's, you know, a positive test, you know, you immediately go into, you know, quarantine. You know, you continue to test throughout all of that, throughout the time where you do test positive. The other good thing that we also have, too, is, you know, everybody in our facility is required to contact trace. So, you know, we're able to designate, you know, if you do test positive within an NFL facility, you know, we're able to kind of designate, like, hey, you spent this amount of time around somebody in the facility, and this person may be high risk. So we're able to isolate that person who may be at high risk and make sure to kind of mitigate any potential spread within the facility. So, you know, those are measures that the league has taken to allow us in a very high contact sport to make sure that we're able to stay safe and, you know, not necessarily, you know, avoid the risk of having like a large outbreak within our own team facility.
Brandon Ruth, he is the Director of Operations for the Atlanta Falcons, and he's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brandon, how do you handle social distancing in the locker room?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, the part that really separates us from every other team in the league is, you know, our owner had the, you know, foresight many years ago to build on-campus dorms for us here at our facility. So what we've pretty much done is, you know, our dorms have only really been used for training camp when we used to make guys stay overnight. But we've now assigned guys their own personal dorm room that now acts as their locker room. So that has allowed us to really keep our guys separate, safe, and then really take away any chance of, you know, kind of the petri dish that the locker room could be if somebody were to be positive. Now on game days and what a lot of other teams are doing, you're seeing a lot of plexiglass dividers set up in between lockers just for an added layer of protection just in terms of any potential transmission through water droplets, sneezes, coughs, or anything like that.
When did you guys start planning this?
You know, when did the pandemic hit? March.
Right.
Yeah, so honestly, it was, you know, I think about it a lot. You know, the day the NBA really kind of shut down their operation, you know, I remember coming in the next day and, you know, we kind of buckled in from there. And I actually think that's part of the reason why our operation has been so smooth and our players have responded so well to it is because, you know, we started thinking about all of these, you know, things very early on back in March. And we've really haven't had to deviate too much from what our original plan is. You know, it's kind of grown and evolved. But we've been able to communicate things out to our players and coaches early. So when they came back, they knew what to expect. And we've had a smooth operation that, you know, our players are happy and they feel safe, which is the most important thing with returning to sports in the pandemic.
Who all was charged with putting these protocols in place?
You know, the league office has done a great job of, you know, really sending in the protocols to us. And then, you know, just from a, you know, internal perspective, once we do receive the protocols, you have Marty Lozon, who's our director of sports performance. You know, he's kind of been our ICO, which is kind of our infectious control officer. So we go to him with everything. You know, he is our head medical officer, and any questions that we have, you know, he's able to do it. My boss, Spencer Treadwell, who's VP of operations, you know, and myself, you know, we've kind of been in the trenches amongst many other people, really getting these protocols and seeing what's the best way for the Atlanta Falcons to operate within these protocols. Because at the end of the day, we want to keep everybody safe, but we also want to make sure we're setting up an environment that allows us to win football games, because that's what we want to provide for our fans this year.
Brandon Ruth, he's Falcons Director of Operations. Is the league doing inspections?
Oh, yes. We have already had our, you know, kind of one random inspection that, you know, a lot of teams have had. And, you know, it's really just to make sure that, you know, what we're telling the league that we're doing, you know, it actually is happening. So that's one of the bigger things that, you know, the league and NFLPA is doing is they want to make sure that what you're telling them you're doing with, you know, air quality or social distancing or, you know, cleaning and disinfecting, they want to make sure that it's actually, you know, legitimate and that you have a good plan for everything to keep people safe. So we've already had our, you know, random pop-up, but we're prepared, you know, for any other ones that do come. You know, we feel really confident about our operation here.
Brandon, you deal with 23, 24, 25-year-old guys that have a little bit of money. They're used to be able to go on out. How do you approach them and talk to them about the dangers of going out to restaurants and bars? What kind of conversation have you guys had with the players?
Yeah, so, you know, the best part about, you know, my role and a lot of people here is, you know, we have a really, you know, kind of on a personal level, you know, we're really close with a lot of these guys. And they know and they understand the dangers that there are, not just from a sports perspective, but personal life, family. You know, when they go home and they go to their kids and their wives, the dangers that there are. So, you know, they know a lot of it before we even approach them. And then, you know, the biggest test for us is once we do go on the road and once we start traveling, kind of understanding the same routine of, hey, I want to go to Morton Steakhouse the night of the game or the night before the game. You know, those type of things are, you know, something that we just can't do. So, but most of the guys are well-versed. You know, they've been following all the news just like everybody has. And, yeah, it's been, I think we'll be really good, and our guys have been great thus far.
Brandon, last question for you. How do you think this is going to affect the mental aspect of the players when it comes to dealing with COVID-19 and having to go through all these protocols every single day?
Yeah, you know, Harry, it goes back to, you know, what I was saying a little bit earlier. I think, you know, whoever kind of understands and handles it the best mentally, you know, I think they're going to be the teams who see the most success. And I think that's, you know, our team. The way our guys have kind of handled it and understood that, you know, currently this is the world that we live in. And, you know, you can either become consumed by it or you can attack it head on. And luckily we have a head coach and a GM who, you know, really kind of feed that message to our players and our staff that, you know, hey, this is what we have to do. Let's go. Let's do it. And then once we do it, let's focus on football. And let's win some football games for the city, for our fans, and, you know, keep moving toward our ultimate goal of winning the Super Bowl.
Brandon Ruth, Falcons Director of Operations. Brandon, fantastic stuff, man. I appreciate you giving us some time. And thank you and your staff for all you guys are doing to get us to football season.
Yep, no problem, guys. You know, appreciate it. And, yeah, we're excited for this year. And, you know, our goal is to get through the whole year and keep our guys healthy. So
thanks, man. Stay safe.
Thanks, guys.
Brandon Ruth, Falcons Director of Operations. Interesting stuff from him, Harry, that I had wondered if the NFL would be doing some sort of inspections to make sure that you've got 32 teams following, you know, some sort of standard protocol that has been put in place, and it sounds like the NFL is and the Falcons are.
Well, I knew they would, because when we used to have OTAs, we used to have guys at the NFLPA pop up and make sure everything is being followed correctly, all the rules. So I knew they had to be doing some things of that nature.
Rookies A.J. Terrell and Michael Walker have been standouts for the Falcons so far in training camps. We'll hear more about these guys as we take a look at the Falcons' defense. That's next. Chris Goforth, Harry Douglas, one more hour talking Falcons football right here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.